What if kittens played the glockenspiel?
And welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and our title question today was a write-in from a listener named Elliot. Elliot asks, what if everything had a mustache? Oh, I've been wanting to use that one for a while. And speaking of a while, our patron, Luca K., has asked this question over and over again, and I'm so glad we get to include it today.
My name is Luca, I'm 7, and I live in Portland, Oregon. My last question is, what if my city bus drivers were Westworld characters?
That's Luca asking, what if their city bus drivers were What If World characters? Thanks, Mr. Eric.
Bye.
Oh, I miss having a good ride on the city bus. And finally, we've got one more call-in question from Frida.
Hello, my name is Frida. I really like dogs and cats. My What If World question is, what if Fred the dog ate sushi, and what if JF Cat ate dog kibble? Thank you. I love your podcast, Mr. Eric.
And her name is Frida. Thank you.
Ooh, Fred the dog eating sushi. I'm sure he'll love it. Let's find out, what if Fred the dog ate sushi and JF Cat ate dog kibble? What if my city bus drivers were What If World characters? And what if everything had a mustache? Alabaster Zero, de facto leader of Mustachery Inc., was driving the rest of the gang around in his Clue Cruiser, a big old van retrofitted with an electric engine and solar panels on the top.
All right, everyone, I've got just one question, said Alabaster, glancing back at the three people and one dog riding in the van. Where am I and who are you and why do I have a mustache?
Like, I know I'm not the leader of Mustachery Inc., sighed Craggy.
They were an ever-hungry rock monster who spoke in sign language because they lacked vocal cords.
But Zero, you're acting strange. Maybe you need more dirt in your diet.
Interesting, said Elma, the talking tree person, as she twirled her mustache in curiosity. Zero doesn't seem to recognize any of us at all.
And he also doesn't appear to be paying attention to the road, observed Taffy.
She was a stretchy pink taffy person, with hair like stalks of ruby red rhubarb.
That's okay, I'll drive,
said Freddy Boo Boo Bear, an old brown and black bull mastiff with a tongue too long for his mouth. Freddy Bear stretched out his tongue, steering the Clue Cruiser off of the winding road and straight into a ditch.
Zonks! I really banged my head there, but good thing I'm made of rocks, said Craggy.
Is everyone okay?
Said Alabaster, although everyone here seemed to be calling him by his last name, Zero.
Oh yeah, we're fine,
said the large old mastiff, Freddy.
We crashed so many times in monster chases that we got very good doggy seatbelts installed.
Monster chases?
Twiggies, said Elma, reaching over a sticky hand to check Alabaster's head.
Did you bang your head or something? You're acting really strange, Zero.
But he was acting strange before we crashed, observed Taffy, bending and weaving her taffy body through the Clue Cruiser to get a closer look at her leader.
Okay, well listen, we're Mustachery Inc., the most famous teenage detectives in all of Ghostly Grove, and I'm Freddy Boo Boo Bear, everyone's favorite.
And I'm Craggy. Don't you remember me, Zero?
Asked Craggy, his curled rocky mustache suddenly drooping.
And I'm Elma, your best tree buddy. I put the solar panels on the Clue Cruiser.
Sounds...
Surely you must remember me, Taffy.
Your voice is a little familiar.
We were the first two mystery solvers in the gang.
Well, I...
said Alabaster,
rubbing the fresh bump on his forehead where it had hit the steering wheel a moment ago.
Yeah, well, of course I remember solving mysteries. Is that where I was driving just now?
Like, how ridiculous,
sighed Craggy.
Yeah, we don't go places looking for mysteries. It's just wherever we go, mysterious monsters sort of appear.
And that in itself isn't at all mysterious to anyone.
That's just the way things are, said Taffy.
Like how everyone has mustaches.
Exactly, said Elma. Can you imagine a world where some things just didn't have mustaches?
It's like trying to picture the fourth dimension.
Right, of course.
The hood of the Clue Cruiser was hissing out smoke, and Elma, the team's de facto mechanic, popped the hood with a hand made of sticks.
Looks like we won't be taking that tour of Ghostly Grove Manor today.
That's okay by me. I hear that place is haunted.
Wait, we may be in luck, said Taffy, stretching a gummy pink finger toward an approaching bus. As it turned out, the gang had conveniently crashed right in front of a bus stop. The bus lowered its suspension with a hiss of air. Then the bus's curly mustache reached around to open its own door.
Looks like you kids could use a lift.
The bus driver was a short, round old pirate with an extra large, bushy mustache combed up to cover his bald head in a messy swirl.
Peter the Transportator, here's me card. I also do real estate.
Yeah, do you happen to go to Ghostly Grove Manor?
Only every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday except holidays.
And today is...
one of those days, obviously. So climb aboard.
Zero, Craggy, Elma, Taffy, and Freddy Boo Boo Bear got on the bus and quickly realized...
Are we, like, the only passengers?
That is curious,
said Alabaster.
Yarr, tis a shame,
said Pater, glancing back only on occasion while driving the bus.
Old Ghostly Grove Manor isn't the tourist attraction it once were. Some say it be haunted by the Mustache Man.
Why would that be scary? We all have mustaches.
Yarr, but they say this man somehow has more than one mustache.
Creepers.
Zonks.
Twiggies.
I'm incredulous.
Zero. Everything has one mustache, as you well know, explained Elma. But for something to have two mustaches, it defies the laws of physics.
Oh, aye. And those many mustaches curl around its body, creating a fabulous head of hair. Creepy mustache hair.
Unlike the hair that's combed on top of your head.
Huh, what? No, that's just the way it's always grown.
You're literally putting mustache wax in your hair right now.
Cinnamon scented.
Here, it just helps me, hold on to the steering wheel,
said Pater, quickly putting the tin of mustache wax away.
Well, we're here, said Taffy, right on time for our tour after all.
Like, I hope the tour starts with a cafeteria,
sighed Craggy.
Cause I'm so hungry I could eat one.
One cafeteria?
Zonks, maybe I could just settle for a bistro.
Enjoy your visit,
called Pater the Transportator.
This is the end of my route, so I can pick you up after me 1 hour lunch break.
That bus driver sure offered us a lot of exposition,
observed Elma. And off they went to meet their tour guide.
Hi there, it's me, Old Man Jojo, and I'll be your suspicious tour guide.
Suspicious?
Well, I meant to say capricious. No, malicious. No, let's go with auspicious.
Huh?
I'm your friendly tour guide.
Fair enough.
Old Man Jojo was a black and white cat person whose face was now all white with age.
So here's the deal. You five are the only tourists we've had in a week, but I've had to lay off everyone else who works here, so now I have to go prep lunch.
Oh, I hope you have sushi snacks.
No, I only serve dog kibble,
said Old Man Jojo, shoving a paw full of kibble in his mouth.
It's the only food I've found that's equally appealing to tree creatures, rock monsters, candy folks, cats, and humans.
That sounds very unappealing.
But equally so,
said Old Man Jojo, taking another bite of kibble before headed off toward the cafeteria.
Oh, and don't go looking for hidden treasure, because there's definitely not any, said Old Man Jojo.
Could you maybe tell us more about this mustache man?
Ah, what? Oh, yeah. He only seems to appear during tours, which is why no one goes on them anymore. It's all covered in the pamphlet.
Jojo rounded the corner and was gone.
Oh, I want to see the koi pond and catch a sushi snack.
Oh, I want to see an apple orchard and eat a tree or two.
Maybe we should go to Jojo's office. I don't know why it's part of the tour, but it could give us some clues.
Ooh, I want to go to the magic door hallway. It just sounds fun.
Zonks!
Twiggies!
Creepers!
Freddy Boo Boo Bear!
So you're just doing the thing I said? I mean, Elma's idea was clearly better.
Yes, but you are the leader.
Usually you tell us to split up and look for clues right now, but sometimes that happens after we meet the monster, so...
They were on their way to the hallway of magic doors when five hairy tendrils shot out of the darkness, wrapping each of them up.
Oh, wow, we're just immediately captured.
Zonks!
Sighed Craggy, bursting out of his mustache bindings with incredible Craggy strength.
Get me out of here!
Said Freddy, shooting his tongue toward a man-sized monster made of many mustaches. The slimy tongue seemed to tickle or gross out the monster just enough that it loosened its hold on the rest of them.
That's all I need.
Taffy's pink hand turned into candy scissors and she snipped her way out, while Elma wriggled her twigs and escaped an Alabaster Zero.
I don't know what to do.
This is the part where we all run away.
But it still got me. I'm too scared to think.
Come on, Zero, let's go.
Maybe if I use this thing tied around my neck.
You mean your necker knot?
Yeah, sure that.
Alabaster untied the necker knot, then tied it in a super tight knot around the mustache hair confining him until it finally let go and he could slip away. The mustache monster chased them all around the manor, in and out of the hallway of magic doors, where any combination of creatures chasing each other could come out of any other door and suddenly be either running away or chasing the wrong person for no apparent reason.
Oh no, now it's chasing me!
Like, now I'm chasing it!
Now we're all playing chess together.
Now there's another whole set of us running off into a separate door, as if two realities have intertwined.
My brain hurts.
No time to think about that. The mustache monster is gaining on us.
They seem to run past the same door over and over and over again, until finally escaping through a door that looked just like the one they'd passed a dozen times, and finding themselves in the apple orchard.
Zonks, I'm hungry from all that running,
sighed Shaggy, before chewing on a tree.
Something's seriously wrong here.
I'll say, Zero, you took off your necker knot.
What? No. I mean, this world makes even less sense than I'm used to worlds making.
Those are probably just clues, Zero. So let's focus on the case. I have a pretty good idea that the villain will be one of two people.
No, wait. Now is when we set up a trap for the monster.
Oh, that's right.
Like, Zero, this is your department.
Okay, fine. We'll use bubblegum. Because no hairy monster wants it stuck in them.
Zonks, you're not supposed to say the plan out loud.
Then how are you supposed to know?
We just all do the plan and then it works.
And then we catch the monster.
Okay, well, where are we gonna get a man-sized glob of bubblegum?
I think we're out of luck. All I've got is this half-chewed pile of sappy wood pulp.
The mustache monster, who'd been right behind them moments ago, had finally caught up. Zero, thinking quick, pulled out his spare necker knot and waved the red fabric like a matador waving his cape. Mustachy tendrils of hair reached toward Zero at lightning speed, but faster than lightning, he dodged aside and they stuck into the sticky, sappy pile of chewed wood pulp. Cried the mustache man. But the more it struggled, the more tangled up it got in the gummy substance until it was completely subdued.
Time to unmask this villain.
And I think I know just who it is, said Elma,
grabbing on to its head made of mustaches and giving a swift tug.
Peter the Transporter.
Peter the Bussy Guy.
That's right. Old Man Jojo's pamphlet listed the tour schedule, which lined up exactly with Peter the Transportator's bus schedule.
But what about the secret hidden treasures?
There weren't any, said Old Man Jojo, stepping out from behind a tree as if he'd been waiting there for a long time. That's why I told you not to go looking for the treasures.
And Peter the Transportator gave us his card, which also identified him as
Peter the Real Estater. So you wanted to help sell the manor for a big real estate money fee. But you had to scare away all the tourists first.
Yarr, and I would have gotten away with it if
not. Also, your mustache man costume smelled like cinnamon wax.
Oh, okay, I get it.
And you really knew a lot about the manor, suggesting you spend more time around here than you let on.
And I wouldn't have gotten away with it if it weren't for you mustachioed kids.
Now I need a sushi snack.
Now you all know that I love solving a good mystery.
Like, of course.
That's why you're the leader.
Indeed.
Bubble.
But this was all too comfortable, too easy, too weird.
Oh, that's what you say after every mystery.
So let's, like, just go solve the next one.
Huh? No, it's like I'm stuck on some kind of show.
Oh, don't be silly.
Yeah, Zero. If this was some kind of show, wouldn't it have, like, a theme song or something?
Oh, no, Freddy. Why'd you say it?
The end.
Freddy Boo Boo Bear, what's under there? It's probably something scary. Huh? Come on, Freddy Bear, reach under there with your tongue all wet and hairy. You know we got a monster mystery that doesn't make much sense. Don't unpack the attack to eat a sushi snack or else things might get too intense. That's a fact. So come on, Freddy Bear, I know you're here. There's lots of clues to follow. Run and eat and run, it's tons of fun. Then we'll do it again tomorrow. And also Alabaster Zero's there.
Whoa! That was weird. Was that even What If World? Or did Alabaster Zero fall through the world pool? That's been happening a lot this season. Maybe your What If questions can help him find his way back. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Craig Martinson for our theme song, my producer Miss Lynn, and all you kids at home who know that when things are too easy, they won't stay fun for long. So get out there and find the challenge that helps you to grow. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.